This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 2nd WGN show. We started around 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 2.5 hours to spend together and plenty on my mind, but whatever is on yours will trump that, that's for sure. As usual, we have 9,832 stories from James, and most of them people behaving badly, but in some cases, lawyers behaving badly. Anyone who thinks there are not enough lawyers hasn't looked at some of the lawsuits that are being filed. One is on behalf of a Florida woman. Where else? $5 billion. And she's suing Hershey's. And you're saying, what on earth could Hershey's have done? What would have been in this stuff? Were there not, you know, enough different colors in some candy? No, it's actually worse than that. We're talking about Reese's, and not Reese's Pieces, the full-size Reese's, particularly the Reese's holiday candy. And what she is saying is that she bought the Reese's Pumpkins peanut butter. And what she got did not include a pumpkin face. Yeah, I struggle with the words, believe it or not. Yes, on the package, it shows a blob of chocolate I don't know how to describe it really, a lump of chocolate, but with obviously peanut butter in the middle, as which peanut butter cups are known to have. And on the top of them were two eyes and a squirrely mouth depicting pumpkin carving. Well, she bought the Reese's pumpkins, uncovered it, and discovered her blobs of chocolate did not contain the pumpkin face, and therefore she is scarred. I kid you not. In her suit, she has listed Reese's peanut butter pumpkins, Reese's white pumpkins, Reese's pieces pumpkins, Reese's peanut butter ghost, Reese's white ghost, Reese's peanut butter bats, peanut butter footballs, and peanut butter shapes assortment snowmen stocking bells. And she said that the company misled her due to the pictures on the package. And she said, Reese's, what are you doing? Look at the picture on the packet. It's like a pumpkin with faces and a little mouth. Then you open up the packet and you're presented with a monstrosity. That's right, an oddly shaped Reese's peanut butter cup. $5 billion. And it goes along with the YouTube video, should you want to be looking for this. And basically, the suit says that Hershey's labels are materially misleading and numerous consumers have been tricked and misled. And so, along with $5 billion, she asked the companies create new packaging that accurately reflects what the seasonal chocolates look like. Tell me this is going to be thrown out of court. And you know, as I say, you know there's a lawyer behind this, somebody who clearly managed to graduate from law school and pass the bar, but doesn't have enough clients, so he's drumming up business this way. I don't know who it is. Maybe we should try and find that person. So in the meantime, we also have more lawsuits regarding, and maybe some well thought lawsuits when you get right down to it, regarding a variety of drugs. There's one lawsuit against Ozempic claiming gastroparesis side effects were unknown. And it's not only Ozempic, but it also is, I think it's Eli Lilly and their product, which was, let me find it here. I had it, Mounjaro. Eli Lilly makes Mounjaro, and it is another one of those drugs that is designed for people who have problems with blood sugar control, particularly type 2 blood sugar control, and eating, clearly. And the side effect of these drugs, and one of the reasons they're so widely used, particularly Ozempic, is because of the fanfare behind you'll lose so much weight. Well, apparently this guy wasn't really trying to do that, but he took 2 doses because his doctor thought it might be a way to even out his blood sugar. And next thing you know, there he is at work, and suddenly he's projectile vomiting, the likes of which he's never seen, or probably anybody else in the office ever seen before. He said it's suddenly like somebody flipped a switch. And he said, I didn't feel bad. I just started projectile vomiting with no warning. And it continued for 9 days. That'll make you tired. And the bottom line to this, apparently, is that it is a known side effect. And you're saying, what the hell kind of side effect is that? Well, what that is stomach paralysis, actually. Gastroparesis, a paralyzed stomach. Now, the problem is, this guy is going to live with this for life. I kid you not. Now, of course, you know, a miracle could happen and all that, but the doctors believe that it's permanent. And so after 10 days of dehydration and all that kind of stuff, and the doctors finally were able to diagnose gastroparesis, stomach paralysis, and the doctors suspect that it was the 2 doses of Mounjaro that are at fault. And then they told him, probably not going to resolve. And he said, I want somebody to be accountable. I wouldn't have touched this stuff with a 10-foot pole, and I wouldn't have advised anybody that would be willing to listen to everything you possibly can before you even consider this. Well, and so the question is, because all of the warnings will state in some terms or another that it's a possibility. In the case of Eli Lilly, they're saying it's well known. Really? It's part of the way the drugs work. More good news. They slow down your digestive system. And some people's stomachs slow down a little, and some people slow down a lot. And then in a rare few case, some just shut down entirely and forever. And so regulators are, obviously involved in this too, because they're approving the wording on these warnings. But the bottom line is that on something like this, it's next to impossible for a doctor to predict exactly which patient will have the more severe of the complications. And so apparently the law firm that's representing this man has screened over 10,000 gastroparesis cases nationwide that are linked to the use of GLP. And so you've got a number of people, and another woman that he's representing, the lawyer Jacqueline, who took both Ozempic and Mounjaro. Meanwhile, the drug companies are, of course, filing motions to dismiss. And legally, that's going to be a very interesting story because, of course, if the government has approved the warnings, well, then I guess the only way to get around that is to claim that the drug manufacturers misled, the FDA or whoever it is that is over that body in terms of the information they're in. But bottom line is that there are millions, literally millions of people using these drugs, mostly because of the side effect that you'll lose weight. Yeah, all I'll tell you is this. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Soroya is in Detroit. Ah, and she's awake. Well, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rockstar, how are you doing?
All right, what gets you up at this hour?
Well, you know, at some times of the night, I get to work from home tomorrow. So I don't have to get up until 9.
Well,
so
good. Good. Well, I'll take that. Well, it's good to hear from you. What's new?
Well, what's new is a lot of things. So my mom told me today that she knew about Art Bell way before I did. And I'm like, really? And then she said, I'll tell you later. I'm like, well.
So your mother was a closet coast-to-coast fan long before you knew it?
Which is great because we both have the night fire rhythm for our night people.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to discover that I was sneaking up on her to Art Bell, and she was too.
How about that?
Which is pretty great, but I miss Art terribly. There's kind of nothing that fills the void in the same way.
You're 100% right. And in a way, Art was kind of like the successor to Herb Jepko, because it wasn't, wasn't so much the paranormal. It was his ability to make that connection with the listener. And that one-on-one connection, even if you never called, you felt like Art was talking to you. And unfortunately, and that, by the way, that's the hallmark of great overnight radio when that happens.
Yep.
And, you know, Herb Jepko could do it like nobody else, and Art was good at it, too. And interestingly, there's nothing there now. I mean, you know, they're nationally, there's two shows, and one of them involves two people. Now, the problem with that is when you're talking about overnight radio, it needs to be one-on-one. So the minute you make it a team, you've excluded the listener from that one-on-one bond. So
yep.
even if they didn't have 46 minutes of commercials now, or at least it seems that way, it would be problematic. And then, of course, the other show is because the guy's a moron.
You know what's funny about it, Tim, is that I'm like, those of us who sleep 4 hours at a time, we're like, we're up. So there's nothing for us? There's garbage?
Well, there's no money in it, unfortunately. And you know, when Premiere got Coast to Coast when Art Bell was doing it, it was probably not the best purchase that Randy Michaels ever made for J-Corp at the time. Because, of course, all the money that's made in overnight radio is made differently than, you know, normal radio spots would be sold.
Sure.
And so, of course, they had really, you know, they had Sea Crane Company, they had some others, too. They had some wonderful boutique sponsors, as it were. But here comes Premiere, and they're like, we can't sell that. And so then the idea, brain trust that they are, said, well, we'll just have the stations take a minute or two of daytime inventory, and that's the way we'll finance it. I cannot... It would take more than the next 2 hours to detail what's wrong with that logic. But
sure.
Nonetheless, the bottom line is that there won't be too many more comers to this this time slot, because where's the money in it?
Right. And you know what's sad is, like, podcasts are great, but they don't feel the same rush. My mom and I were talking about, like, I was up in high school and discovered Art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was on a headphone, you know, a tape player with a radio, and I discovered Art. There's nothing that's going to happen like that for this generation. It's not the same.
Well, that's a good point. And podcasts are wonderful, and they'll fulfill your every need, but they won't give you that immediacy of live one-on-one every night radio, that appointment listening. It's just not there. And
and it's not the same as radio. You know what I mean? Like, I can scroll through the dial and find something I'm interested in. That doesn't happen anymore, and that's sad because I have to talk to somebody to get to other podcasts.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? It's just, and they aren't always good. So then you have to weed through the garbage. When you're scrolling through the dial, it costs you nothing.
Well, right.
No time. It's literally 30 seconds. Well, I don't like this. I'm going to the next channel.
Right. Well, that's the problem with podcasts, and of course, eventually they'll come up with something. But right now, nobody's ever searched for something they haven't heard of. So you've either got to get it because you've heard about it on one podcast and it's related, or you've heard about it from somebody. And even then, yeah, you're scrolling through an awful lot of crap to get something. You say, "Hey, I'd like to hear this." So yeah.
Yeah, and what's funny too? I talked to my parents who are almost 80. And I'm almost 50. God, I don't want to make you feel old, but I am almost 50.
Yeah.
I turned 48 this year. But my parents were alive when television started. You know, they were young, but they were before the radio generation. Then we were talking about all of us had lived before the internet, which is interesting because it's like, what's the next big thing? And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like the next big thing. I like the old stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me getting older. It's not better. There's so many choices. I don't know what to pick. Back in the day, I had channels. I had stations.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. There's obviously upsides and downsides to it, no matter what. But most of us were comfortable with what we know, and
yes, of course.
So it was an experience you had that you enjoyed. I know when I talk about the Sea Crane radios that I love so dearly, you know, I love the reception on them. But I got to tell you, more often than not, I'm like, yeah, I got great reception. What do I want to hear? And, you know, that's why I love being on WGN because, you know, it's a Chicago local station. And I think that's terrific. But normally you don't find that anymore for a lot of reasons.
No.
And
you don't. And I used to DX and that's almost gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's almost no reason to DX now. And of course, the other thing on a sociological basis is that one thing that Top 40 radio really gave us starting in the 50s was that shared experience. Everybody of the same age was listening to the same night guy and the same records. And there was a commonality. And that's no longer the case. It's no longer a shared experience.
By the way, on a random thing I didn't plan on talking about, I cannot get 50s and 60s radio anywhere. It's now 70s and 80s. That's the oldies.
And right. And you know what's really sad about that is in the past, you would have fringe stations that might, you know, do a big band show or Music What's Left of Your Life or something like that.
Sure.
Well, now the fringe station can make more money selling the time out to, you know, Iranians or Hispanics or whatever, foreign language programming. And so you don't have, before you'd have a ton of stations that would, they'd absolutely be fringe stations and they're not really going to show up in the ratings, but they would appeal to various niche groups. But you don't have that anymore. If you're looking for, 50s and 60s doo-wop, for instance, the only place you're probably going to find that is on public radio on the weekend. Some guy who's on there who's not making a dime, who's just playing what he loves.
Right, which is crazy because me, who grew up in Michigan, I grew up on Honey Radio. It's AM.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up on. And I love that. And that's the whole reason that me as an Xer knows that music.
Right.
And now nobody knows that music in the broad scheme of things. And that, you know, you're the right person to talk about this. It's frustrating to me because I'm like, the modern, and I'm getting old, I can tell. So I'm like, the modern stuff is horrible, but not all of it's horrible. It's just, there's no, I had a broad view of music.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore.
No. The original theory of Top 40 was the 40 most popular records. It didn't matter what format they were in. And, of course, now everything has to be so narrowcasted in order to survive at this point in time. So I'm not faulting people for doing it, but it does make less choices. Now, you mentioned nobody knows it, and that's something that is very frustrating to me because most of these acts who were, say, the pop standard groups and the doo-wop groups and all that, when we're gone, so will it be. Anybody who thinks the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is actually accurate has lost their mind. But apart
it's
from that,
totally not.
Yeah, of course it's not. And the thing is, the other groups just don't really exist. They're, John Rook started the Pop Standards Hall of Fame type thing with Hit Parade. But sadly, he died and it died with him. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to lose.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about your separate station that you do, because I can turn in any time and hear things that I love. And even if it's not popular, I love it, and I know the genre. Where I have nothing on the Detroit market that's beyond 70. It's sad. And
I know.
Again, not that I'm doing the radio, but if I was a radio person, it's a mess. You know, and not to dominate my time talking, but you understand. You're one of the few people where I'm like, this is frustrating. I remember WOMC was playing Biscuit songs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it's very frustrating. But the thing is, if you take the time, you will find enough online sources to basically give you the dose of what you want. Thank God. But it's not the same as it was when you could just turn on the radio and be thrilled. No, and it's not coming back. It's not.
No, and of course it's not. And all the dinosaurs, I guess, are going to die off.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And God, good luck with your auto-tune, people. Have fun with that.
Yeah, really. Well, on that note, apart from music and entertainment choices, work going well?
Work is awesome. I still love my job. I'm doing wonderfully.
Good.
I had a wonderful time at my Christmas party, and I also want to say I'm getting tattooed a week from today.
All right. Well, good deal. It is wonderful to hear from you. I hope you are going to stay up again soon and call me.
I will, Raleigh. I miss you, and thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling, Soraya.
All right, so bye.
We used to hear from Soraya more often, but she has a real serious day job and real serious hours, so we don't hear from her too often. And boy, I tell you, sleep is sacred, so I always vote for that. We'll get to Eduardo in Tampa. We'll get to you, too. Hopefully, we got another 2 hours right here on WGN Radio.
any day now. I will hear you say goodbye, my love, and you'll be on your way. Then, my wild, beautiful bird, you will have flown. Oh, any day now, I'll be all alone. Now, when your restless eyes meet someone new, oh, to my sad surprise, then the blue shadows will fall all over town. Oh, any day now.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And Jan in Dallas wanted to hear that Chuck Jackson, Any Day Now. Burt Bacharach and Bob Hilliard wrote that. On Juan, 1962. And let's see, Luther Dixon produced it. Burt Keys of Doo 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 Ba Ah fame arranged it. So good taste has Jan. All right, so Eduardo is in Tampa. What's going on, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh, well, before I start on this LEQ, who's going to be a replacement for a home held aide. Just talk a little bit about that plane crash that was...
in Japan?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was pretty interesting.
Oh, man.
Well, the Coast Guard was there because obviously they had that earthquake, so they were there helping out with that. But I don't know how there was a miscommunication. And even the plane, I mean, it is dark and... And if they saw that or they didn't see it, I mean, they could have, I mean, luckily it turned out okay at the end, but.
Well,
know,
by the way, no, it really didn't. The people who were on the Coast Guard plane, five of them were dead, you know, so
yeah.
That was not a pretty
right.
thing. But yeah, what was interesting to me, and yes, thank God everybody, there was over 300 people on that JAL jet, got off without a problem. And man, when you see the pictures of it on fire, it's unbelievable to see that. But in terms of what's going on here, you know, I'd like to know who was in the tower. Because air traffic control is the JAL was coming in on a normal landing. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there. Stay where you are. And we got, like I say, 2 hours, hopefully for you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
All the men come in these places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their names. You don't think of them as human. You don't think of them at all. You keep your mind on the money, keeping your eyes on the wall. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do what you want me to do. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. And any old music will do. I wanna make $1 million. I wanna live out by the sea. Have a husband and some children. Yeah, I guess I want a family. All the men come in these places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their name. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Tina Turner from 1984 on Capitol. And it was Stacy who said, play anything by Tina Turner you like. Well, there's a lot to choose. And I picked Private Dancer tonight. So we're talking to Eduardo in Tampa. And if you did see the pictures of the JAL Airbus after it exploded, and exploded really is the right word for this, the most harrowing to me, Eduardo, were the ones where you could see every window by the seat and looking in, just nothing but fire. I mean, it was...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, absolutely startling.
And he mentioned 2 minutes, close to 2 minutes, that you have time to get off and go down those chutes.
Right. Right. It was quick, and thank God. I think four people were sent to the hospital with hopefully not too serious injuries. But other than that, they're fine, and they did. And then, of course, a few minutes later came the explosion. But that's my question. Now what we know, and of course we don't know anything about, you know, the air traffic controllers involved or what they did. JAL is so far claiming that they got clearance to land. And they did land.
Right.
And then this was a ground accident. This was a ground collision. And so we had the Japanese Coast Guard there, you know, slamming into the plane. Got that. But my question is, I've never liked Airbuses anyway, by the way. That's just my, you know, my deal. I don't fly on them. Of course, I don't fly on anything anymore. But if I did, I wouldn't fly on those. That said, there are supposed to be countless provisions that the plane, even in the, you know, disaster situation, don't implode like that, which is really what happened. So my question is, why? What caused that to become just a virtual fireball?
Yeah, so we're going to know that after they do the investigation.
We'll know that.
Yeah, definitely on the air traffic controller, that would be something to find out what...
Right. And we will. We'll find out about that, no doubt about that, you know, whether it was a miscommunication or what the military was doing. You know, it's hard to say. But if JAL is accurately portraying it, they got clearance, they landed. So far, so good. You know, no problem. So theoretically, they are not at fault here, from what we know. But again, I look at the severity of this explosion. And it just, I want to know a little bit why in terms of that. Yes, I understand in crashes, all sorts of horrible things happen. But that's the first time I've seen anything quite like that.
Where do they do the training here in the U.S. for that? I think you mentioned that one time.
Oh, you mean military? I don't know if...
No, the air traffic controllers?
Oh, yeah. In America, they do. They do it in Oklahoma City. But,
Oklahoma City, okay.
Yeah, but
you mentioned that, I think, once.
Right, yeah. That's you know, traditionally where it was all done. There's a couple of schools now that have, like Embry-Riddle, that I think have some private programs. But traditionally, you had to go through... I think it's Michael Mulrooney or something. I forget it. It used to be MMM. You'd see it there, you know, going by the facility. But in any event, you know, I can't tell you where the Japan, you know, controllers train, because it wouldn't necessarily be stateside. The only thing that's required is, it doesn't matter where in the world a controller is, they have to speak English. So
that's the universal
language.
It is the universal
language, yes.
Okay.
And like I've said before, I have some controller friends who have proven that a lot of these people are just memorizing phrases, not actually answering questions. So that's kind of scary, but that's another subject. But I assume that JAL was, you know, top-notch there. And I'm going to assume that the air traffic controllers, for the most part there, were seasoned, and I'd like to know... You know, I'm not going to cast aspersions anywhere at this, other than I want to know exactly how this imploded to this degree like that upon impact. What happened? Why weren't there systems on that plane that would have prevented that type of a fireball?
Yeah. Well, let me get on to this LEQ so you can get on some other callers here. I just feel that using the high schoolers and the college is so much better than this artificial intelligence and robots. Because I think it'd be so much more beneficial for not just the elderly, but also the young people, so they know what's going ahead when they get older, having that human element there, instead of, you know, having these robots just being kind of like the substitutes for the human person.
Right, and they're looking at AI for the robotics for things like daily activities or, you know, fall detection, communication management. There's probably a way to combine the two, because I think one of the big problems is you have so many people in need of care, and really not enough employees to go around. And also then you get into cost and who's covering it and how well they're covering it. So if some of that can be done in terms of robotically, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's the question of what and how much of it. You know, wearable devices are not a bad thing. You know, just like years ago when we saw those commercials for help, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, we kind of laugh about that, but that's a godsend to somebody who's living alone and has a fall. So, you know, there are probably ways to literally revolutionize that. And I'm not opposed to that. But no, the idea that we are going to replace human interaction with AI, that's reprehensible to many of us. But what's really unfortunate, and you can see it, is that in younger people, they're not fully opposed. You know, it's just like when these phone companies give you unlimited talk time. Well, the reason they do that is none of the young people want to talk. They just want to text. It's data they worry about, not talk.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, increasingly, you see people who don't want that interaction. And, you know, I admit in the, I guess it was early 80s, when finally the phone company had gone to the fact that you could punch in your phone company credit card without talking to an operator, I loved that, to tell you the truth, because it was quicker and easier and no problem. But we've gotten very far from that now, and at this point, I think one of the reasons that people are on their last nerve is they've dialed one too many businesses and went through 12 prompts before they got a person, or 12 prompts and then they were hung up on.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I
let's
get
hope
it.
That maybe they'll get a fix on the do not call. You know, that list was supposed to be good, and you just get these inundated calls of, you know, people trying to solicit. So,
of course. Of course, absolutely. So, you know, good and bad on that, I suspect. But in basic monitoring things that don't require human intervention, that's probably a good thing for seniors.
Yeah. Well, at least we can see some mixture of it. Maybe not go completely.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe go a little balance. 50-50. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I think it really isn't a question of what percent. It's a question of what task. There are some tasks that don't require human intervention, and then many tasks that do. So I'd vote based on what it's trying to replace.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Oh, I got a during the holiday. I got to follow with the hospital tomorrow, but I did do some couple. One's a law firm. I think one's like a hospital system. Mm-hmm. So I got my fingers crossed that they're going to call and.
Yay.
I can. Yeah. Maybe do an interview and, you know, go forward from there.
Right. I can't understand this because everybody's claiming they need people. And here you are, not only willing to work, but bilingual in Florida. They should snatch you up in a minute. Now, tell me about the law firm. What are they about?
Well, this is like a clerk just helping out. The hospital thing, I think, is something where you are like helping out with supplies or some medical tasks that you're helping out the doctor and the nurse.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll have more information, you know, once
you talk to somebody. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be curious. Yeah. I'll be curious to find out what this law firm is doing. Yeah, absolutely. Find out about some of their cases.
Any of these turn out, and what the hospital says. But hopefully with the new year, you know, things will kind of move forward. I'll kind of catch on with somebody.
I hope so. I'm still stunned that you weren't hired the first day you were there. So, yes, definitely.
Yeah, what happened? Well, it's good to see that, you know, there are some people taking interest, you know, because we were wondering, like, oh, are people really interested in working anymore?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Keep me posted. Can't wait to hear about it.
I'll call later if there's something good in the news to talk about. I'll call later in the week.
Okay, good. All
okay,
right.
Thank you very much.
888-876-5593. We'll get to Mark and Aurora. Room for you two here on WGN Radio.
To live. has its magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charms, a fantastic things begin when I am in yours. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland, it's magic.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's hard for me to believe that anybody would think that was a serious effort, but you would be surprised at how many people were fooled by that. Of course, it's actually, you know, two very talented people, Paul Weston and Joe Stafford. And in fact, you got to be really good to sing that badly is what it comes down to. But the best part of their Jonathan and Darlene Edwards bit, and by the way, they started out in the 40s when Paul Weston had been in a situation where he was with other people from a record label and they were at a bar and there was a lounge guy playing piano who was so bad that Paul imitated him. And then this was a bit he would do at parties and stuff like that. And later, you know, he and Joe Stafford married, and they were doing it. In fact, they wound up doing it at a Columbia Records convention. And their time at Columbia was certainly not without controversy on their part, because they had to deal with Mitch Miller, and they were having to record a lot of crap that Mitch Miller was making them record as head of A&R, and they hated it. And so it was interesting, because when the folks at Columbia encouraged them to put this this Jonathan Edwards and Darlene Edwards on vinyl, at first they were somewhat incredulous, and then they saw the benefit in it, and they did a few albums. In fact, it was one of these albums was the only one that Joe Stafford ever got a Grammy for in the field of comedy. Actually, she never got one for music, strangely enough. But anyhow, it turned out that one of their last albums was a sing-along with Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. And that pretty much put an end to all those Mitch Miller sing-alongs, you know, sing-along with Mitch, like the television show. And to his dying day, he blamed them for the end of that, said, well, you know, it was that Jonathan and Darlene Edwards that ended the sing-alongs, hardly. But it was funny, just like when they did Stayin' Alive, the Bee Gees panned it badly in an interview when they were asked. Apparently, they didn't even understand it was a joke, and we'll be playing that one later. So there were a lot of inside twists and turns to Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. But you heard It's Magic. Diane in Chicago also wanted to hear some Silvery Moon. The best part of that's toward the end, so we'll do that after the news. We'll play the second half of that, because that's where the priceless moments occur. And then, of course, we'll get to Stayin' Alive. And again, how on earth could the Bee Gees not know? And in one of the interviews with Joe Stafford, she had a great personality. She said, well, you know, we're getting played on that Dr. Demento. We don't always like what we're played along with. There are some terrible records. You know, that guy's just classic. All right, so Mark and Aurora, welcome to WGN Radio.
good evening. I have four examples of the use of artificial intelligence. They're all within my immediate experience. Two are negative and two are positive.
Well, interesting. So, tell me about the negative first. I'm curious about this.
Well, one night on the Steve and Johnny show here on this very radio station, they had their computer expert on, Patrick Crispin, and they played what purported to be Steve King saying, you know, don't tell anybody this, especially Johnny, but I've got food hidden in the house that has gluten in it, and I'm eating it secretly. Now, everybody who listens to Steve and Johnny knows that he has to be on a gluten-free diet.
Right, right.
And this was a case of artificial intelligence not only getting him to say what he would never say, but doing it in a voice so convincing that, I mean, I'm reputed to have exceptional ears, and I could not tell from an audio standpoint that this was not him, and that was scary.
That's really interesting. So on the show, they were demonstrating it, and the AI was reportedly being Steve King saying this.
The AI was mimicking Steve King's voice so perfectly that you could not tell it was not him.
Yeah.
And my second negative example is just a question that I asked at a seminar that a friend took me to. This gentleman who was the speaker was an expert on these things, and I said, basically, are we saying here that it's possible to mimic somebody's voice on Facebook or on some other social media so perfectly that they can make you say things that you would never say?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
And get away with it. And yeah, that was all he said. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I thought, well, and now my positive examples. My iPhone could not talk to me, and I could not talk to it without artificial intelligence. And I need that because I can't see the screen.
Right, of course.
And my other example is my OrCam reader. It will not only read text to me, but it will also tell me when a staircase is nearby or when a table or a chair is nearby. And this is made possible through the use of an artificial intelligence combined with a camera. And this is a small device that is about the size of 2.5 finger joints, and it better be good at doing what it's doing because it cost me $3,800, and that was when it was on sale.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to pick it up right there. And yes, applications for visually impaired and blind people, some of the best out there. And there really should be more, and I was reading about that, and there's an interesting reason why there isn't. Oh, it'll get you mad. At least it should. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. James, and that's more Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. And Dr. DeMento did used to play that. That was actually out in 79, which was, I think, one of the last things that that Jonathan and Darlene did. It was also one of the last things that Paul and Joe Stafford did as well, that be known. But still, every time I hear that, and I think about the Bee Gees commenting that they really didn't like that version, is how can you possibly think anyone was serious about that? Now, we're talking with Mark in Aurora about AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark, more than any other community, I think AI can benefit the blind community in miraculous ways. What's interesting is I was reading an article about it, and one of the things that is inhibiting more development, and this will just drive you crazy because you'll probably know that, isn't it so true, is that there are so many misconceptions about the capabilities of blind individuals that a lot of the developers say, well, the blind wouldn't want that. They don't need that. You know, those kind of things. And that's just ignorance to a very big degree, and especially when you're trying to, you know, get funding for something, people say, oh, well, you know, the blind, they don't need that. Right. Yeah, well, the hell with that. I think that AI could absolutely revolutionize things. And, of course, you're seeing some of that already with Be My Eyes and stuff like that. But I think you'll, as time goes on, it's just manna from heaven as far as helping people who otherwise can't see.
Well, and remember, unless you're Stevie Wonder, sighted people will tell you what you can do and what you can't do.
Well, that's my point.
You often don't get to decide that for yourself.
Right.
But the need for a body of ethics to govern artificial intelligence is nothing new. I mean, when you call the use of a knife unethical, it's homicide. But when you govern it by constraints and competencies, you call it surgery.
Well, sure. You know, the bottom line to this is
this is nothing new.
No, this is, of course, it's nothing new. But you were also seeing that this year, because these were some of the most vibrant issues behind the writers and SAG-AFTRA strike. For very good reason. And what I find interesting on a legal standpoint is, sadly, in America, you don't own your identity, and people don't realize that. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a credit card. You don't own your shopping data. The credit card company does. They can sell your shopping data to anybody they want. You can't control it. So I think that when you look at the aggregators, the choice points of the world that not only take your credit, but also take your driving and your criminal and everything else and put it into one database, well, hell, why should the government get subpoenas when they can just buy it from choice point?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the idea of you opting out of that, you can't do that in this country. You can in Germany and in some other countries.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is going to be a very interesting playing field as more and more entities want the ability to control your identity, such as, you know, the government wanting to buy data and all that kind of stuff, and as individuals have more and more to fear. But we need to have something that allows individuals to own their own identity.
And a related comment about the cuts you just played, it reminds me of something that was said of Marilyn Monroe. You have to be smart in order to play dumb.
Right. No, that's true. And in the case of Joe Stafford, she was classically trained. She was going to be a classical musician, and so her ability.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, her ability to sing off key was absolutely governed by what she knew, and that's part of the bit.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, that's what it was. So
she was classically trained.
Yep. She.
Boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be telling my friends about that one.
Yes, well, there you are. All right. Talk to you later.
All righty.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
All right, so 888-876-5593, not lost on me, 8888 Raleigh. Laura in Willowbrook, how's it going, Laura?
Hey, Raleigh. Oh, my goodness, you've got me rolling on the floor over here. Unfortunately, I got in the middle of your conversation, but when you played It's Magic, and I thought, OMG, I sing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Doris Day's turning over in her grave. She does such a good job with that. So I did. Somebody actually recorded these.
Well, this was
on tape.
No, this was records. This actually won a Grammy. This was the deal. Paul Weston, who was, you know, I mean, Paul Weston was unbelievable. He was a pianist, an arranger, a composer, a conductor. He was working in music from the 30s. In fact, some people called him the father of mood music. And, you know, he wrote a number of things as well. And, of course, Joe Stafford goes without saying. She's probably the queen of the pop standards. And, you know, she was a classical musician originally, and so what had happened was it was a bit, and the folks at Columbia said, you know, this is really funny, you should put this out on disc. and they agreed to do it because more of anything to, you know, kind of pimp Mitch Miller, who they didn't like. They wound up doing three or four of these albums. And like I say, in 1960, they won the Grammy for the best comedy album. Now, at first, nobody knew who they were. They weren't outed at first. And, you know, they played along with a bit about how, you know, this was this couple from New Jersey and all this. But eventually it became known who they were. So it was a big spoof and funny to the music community.
Oh my gosh, it's definitely funny. I was rolling on the floor over here. And
yeah,
I got to tell my theater friends about this. I don't know if they've heard about it. So it's very entertaining and funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure most people. The first album, they called The Piano Artistry of Jonathan Edwards. And it wasn't until, I guess, the end of 1957, I think Time magazine outed them. But there were a lot of people who just loved their stuff, like George Shearing and stuff like that. And, they did very well with this as a pimp. But the funniest story that I heard was one that Paul Weston had told years ago, that he was on the golf course and he had been paired with a guy who was CEO of some major corporation. And the guy asked what he did. And he said, well, I'm a musician. And so the guy says, well, I got this album, Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. And at first, Paul Weston thought, the guy knows who I am, right? And
yes,
so he said, yes. And he said, you know, he's really good on that piano, but I don't know about her. And so he realized that this guy was serious as a heart attack, and he bought this.
My God.
Yeah, so that was the deal, and for about 5 years there, it was a very big deal, and then later they came back to do the Stayin' Alive thing.
Well, I'm so happy you played it, Raleigh, and I don't know where you come up with the ideas on your show, but I got to look up some of those and hear some of more of those.
I'll be playing the second half of the other one that that Diane asked for, Silvery Moon, because that to me is hilarious. You'll see that Jonathan just stops playing at one point. What can I tell you? So I get the ideas from all of you guys. You mention things and I pick up on it.
Great, Raleigh. Thanks. Right. Great
Thanks
time as
calling.
Always.
Appreciate
Happy New
it.
Year.
All right. You too. Thanks. 888-876-5593. Donna is in Oak Lawn. Hey, Donna, what's up tonight?
Raleigh, Meryl Streep and Hugh Grant were in a movie together. There was a socialite in the 1940s who supported the arts to the point where she had private lessons to sing, and she actually performed in Carnegie Hall. Could not sing a lick. She made a recording, and the people in the recording studio, you could see their jaws drop.
Right, right.
Over their singing. I don't know her name, but she actually performed for the troops when they came back from the war. And they were not in on the joke. They were not in on the fact that this was a socialite, a woman who did her darndest to support the fine art of musicales and singing and opera and classical trained people. She sponsored a lot of private people going
okay.
to school.
Yeah, is this Florence Foster Jenkins?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I could not remember her name.
Yeah, that's her name, Florence Foster Jenkins, and she was an amateur soprano, should we say, known as the worst opera singer. Although with opera, how do you know? They all sound like choreographed mass murders to me.
Somebody who stepped on a cat's tail.
Yeah, so that's exactly. But yeah, so that's who that was, right?
But I don't know if Joe Safford was actually doing a parody of her.
Well, no, it came down to Paul Weston doing the parody of the bad, you know, lounge piano players, and you know, it was really from that. I don't think that she was necessarily thinking about Florence or not, but it was just the idea in general. But remember, more recently, we had Mrs. Miller. doing downtown and all that. And Mrs. Miller, Elva Miller, believed every bit she was doing. She was not a comedian. She thought this was just great.
No, she was very serious.
Serious as a heart attack.
Doing the best she could.
Well, that's right. And, yeah, unfortunately, the rest of us didn't need to hear it. But it gave Dr. Demento more material.
But you yourself know that a lot of times you're singing in the shower. Man, that shower makes sure your voice sound really fantastic.
No, I've mentioned this many times. I sang in the shower once at a hotel, and somebody complained that there was like farm animals or, you know, I forget now, what, walruses or something. Oh, my God. So that was the end of me trying to sing in a shower.
Well, that's because you did it in the wrong spot.
Well, I guess so. But yeah, right. Never going to do that again. Yeah, yeah. A torture. I think it was torturing pets or something. But anyway, yeah, all right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You take care, Ari. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah. It was some kind of animal cruelty call. So, yeah, what can I tell you? 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And pick it up right there. We have Ruth and Gurney. All right, Ruth and Jan and Dallas. And hope she heard her Chuck Jackson. And we'll play one more, Jonathan Darlene, because I know you're just begging for it here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Silvery Moon. That's an excerpt for that. And yeah, Jonathan and Darlene, otherwise Paul and Joe Sefford there. Interestingly, when you hear the background of that, those were the same guys probably who did the sing-along with Mitch album. So it was a great inside pimp on that as well, though I don't think the public was fully aware of that. And they left Columbia after that. I believe they went back to Capitol for a while. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening, this is James. I had to make a comment now about the selection of songs. What a blessing. I was born with magic, and so some of the reasons why I have gotten so many premonitions throughout my life is because I was born with magic. Mm-hmm. And that song, it's magic, it's the lyrics, you know, and how many times it was covered. It's absolutely wonderful. And then I Will Survive. Boy, do I have a history of that. Mm. I Will Survive. But real quick, I have to mention, I didn't get to the Cookie Walk or get to donate for Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, or St. Raphael the Archangel. And I couldn't get the extra amount of even the Christmas cash raffle tickets from St. Gilbert's. I couldn't get anybody to go get them, the holidays. Mm-hmm. But I did come up with one of the things that I would have donated on my own, and that was a gingerbread house with Christmas fortune cookies on the roof. Mm-hmm. So having an 11 over 11 numerology with the number 9, Scorpio, that is so fortunate for my holidays. And these things can put such incredible positive energy into a person in their lifetime when they are able to use a natural-born gift, blessing, and do something with it. I never put the un in front of the word fortunate. Everything with me is fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I called, though, was the frivolous lawsuit. Mm. Now, my brother said to me, he said he had to fight like hell to get me out of that nursing home, Warren Barr in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
But that all stems from the goofy behavior at the Lake Forest Hospital when I was sent there and put in the Alzheimer's ward. He had to fight like hell to get me out of there. And I called Wallman, the law firm, because they have a somewhat of a reputation for nursing home problems, and they turned me down. I was appalled. I was completely appalled that I had a very legitimate, valid reason for the circumstances. Not only was it extremely expensive to the taxpayers, it's 2.5 years later now, and obviously I don't have Alzheimer's. But he had to fight like hell to get me out of there, and it costed me money on top of it. I got to thinking about another interesting thing, when how these frivolous lawsuits can be brought through and entertained for some litigation, and then, of course, somewhere along the line, the court system absorbs the cost of it when, as you said, it would be thrown out of court.
Ruth, I need to interrupt you. I want to know something about this. When they turned down your case, did they give you a reason?
Well, I was interviewed by persons that called me back on the telephone,
mm-hmm.
and they said that it didn't meet their criteria. And so, excuse me.
What would that be?
Well, I don't know. They just said that they wouldn't accept mm-hmm. it. And even if I were to pay for the initial litigation, they didn't even allow me that option for paying myself out-of-pocket costs. You know, when a lawyer does something pro bono,
right,
or he gets a percentage of the of the litigation. So I wasn't even allowed that.
I was just curious. What I was curious about is whether they thought you belonged there. You know, they say, hey, we can't take this lawsuit. You belong there.
No, I tried to explain to them that I had several months that had passed by with established witness that I did not have Alzheimer's prior, or do I have it now 2.5 years later? So one other thing that I want to mention, though this is so interesting, and since the slant was with the classical singer to do that with a part to make it funny. I used to go often in one of my many Lady Liberty costumes. New Orleans was one of my favorite places, the Fairmont Hotel or the parades. You know, I've given so many compliments and invited to Mardi Gras parties just because of my Lady Liberty costume. Now, I would love to, if I could. I can't get in and out of the disability as accessible, but I would love to go to Libertyville in my Lady Liberty costume and greet the migrants arriving at Metra. That would be so interesting.
I want film, I definitely want to see this.
About the juxtaposition of give me your tire and your floor and your yearning to be free. So incredibly interesting.
In that particular,
you know, in real estate, everything is a fortress and location, location, location.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got to tell you about the fortune cookie gingerbread house and all that I didn't get to accomplish as I had wanted to, but it's absolutely wonderful for the things that I could do personally for myself. And I just love the songs you chose. And every once in a while, we get that surprise Arizona. Like the city of Surprise, Arizona has come through, and we get these incredible songs that put this positive energy into the system. And I'm going to have a mass set at St. Raphael. I could get somebody to take my money to them for previous many masses. For the WGN blind person,
yes,
that call.
All right,
they
good
call
deal.
So often,
You've ended. You've ended the hour, Ruth. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely
thanks for the call.
Miraculous.
Okay, thanks. All right. So on that note, we got another hour to talk to you, Cleveland Dennis, Jan, Fran, and hopefully your call is coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, you wake up in the morning, boy. You hear the ding dong ring. Then you look upon the table, boy. You see the same darn thing. You find no food upon the table, boy. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man. And the midnight special, shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Well, yonder comes Miss Rosie, boy. How in the world do you know? By the way she wears her apron, boy, and the clothes she wore, the umbrella on her shoulder, piece of paper in her hand. Well, she come to see the governor. She wants to free her man. And the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Now if you're ever in Houston, boy, well, you better do right. Hey, you better not gamble, boy, and you better not fight. For the sheriff, he'll grab you, and the boys will pull you down. And the next thing you know, boy, you're prison bound. And the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's Paul Evans. Yeah, Midnight Special and Public Domain. And it was Jack in St. Charles who requested that. And Paul Evans, he wrote an autobiography last year. I got to get a copy of that. And I've talked to him on the air a couple times. It'd be nice to do that again. I hadn't realized until just now I was looking up some stuff that he actually wrote. Happy-Go-Lucky Me, A Lifetime of Music. All right, I'll get a copy of that. In the meantime, like I say, he wrote for a number of people. When, by the Kalin Twins, was his. And Roses Are Red, My Love, the Bobby Vinton record, that was his. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Jan is in Dallas. What's up, Jan?
Well, I'm listening on a super-duper phone, and I'll be able to replay your show, so I'll be able to go back and hear the check. Jackson, I missed. Thank you for playing.
Oh, yeah. It was the first thing I played.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait till I hear it over and over. I'm completely flabbergasted about Joe Stafford. And I grew up listening to her. My mother's favorite song was It Is No Secret.
Yeah.
And I just love her. And to think how talented and how unique her songs and singing could be. And Marilyn Monroe, I just adore her, too. It may have been Dave Galloway, I think, if it was New York, kind of interview show back. She'd have been early mm-hmm. 30s, I believe. And they were talking about the hair color. And I happened to be blonde also. And she was saying how the color of your hair has nothing to do with how, you know, if you're dumb or not. But it was a very, very good interview. And she did not mention that she wrote poetry. And she was, I think, of rodeo clowns. They're so talented that they're just really great. And I feel like I'm almost in the twilight zone listening to some of these records that you're playing with these people. What is that called, what they're doing?
Parody. They're parodies, basically.
Parodies.
Yeah.
Okay. Parodies.
Yeah, of sorts, you know. Mm-hmm. So, sure, it's just, the whole thing was just a goof, you know. It came about when they were doing it just at parties for fun, and when Columbia Records said, you really ought to record this, they thought, hey, there might be some merit in this.
And did they laugh all the way to the bank, I hope?
Well, yeah, like I say, it's the only Grammy she got was for this.
Oh, gosh, bless her heart. Mm. Oh, well, thank you for taking my call, and I'll
always
be sure to listen check.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And we've got Cleveland Dennis. What's up tonight?
Hello, Raleigh.
Hello, Cleveland Dennis.
You hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Thank you. I'm kind of blown away. I'm pretty sure I thought your last caller was blonde, but I always appreciated her voice
When
she comes on. But she said something that really triggered my mind, and this is going on a lot as I listen to your show.
Uh-oh.
But Marilyn Monroe was a rodeo clown.
Okay, why not?
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Well, the one movie that I was very fascinated with that she made was when she was a gal working at the bar and she met this guy that was in the rodeo.
Uh-huh.
And when that was filmed, I'm pretty sure it was in Phoenix about 1955, and I was there as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my uncle took me, and I remember them throwing pennies, and then a lot of the kids, mostly either Indian or Mexican kids, were going back and forth with the flow of the parade where they were throwing the pennies, and it's just something that stuck in my mind. Calling tonight because I like the conversation. It's connected to yesterday. You mentioned about somebody was Peaches and Peaches and Her, but you're also talking about disco. I want to make a request for Peaches and Herb, 1979, I think it is. Get Your Groove On.
Okay.
I think that's the best disco record that was ever made, my personal opinion.
All right. Yeah, it's the second Peaches. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, yesterday when I was fortunate to be able to get or guess the Schoolboys, Shirley.
Yes.
That came to me as a record collector. I had sold a collection to a trucker that came into the office yelling out, anybody want to sell old records? And I had a bunch of them. I was about 22 then, and I sold to a guy out of Pittsburgh. By return, he became friends, but he brought a reel-to-reel, and on that reel-to-reel was Shirley by the Schoolboys.
All right.
That's how I come to know that song. And one last item. A while back, you're talking about Venus by Frankie Avalon, and the flip side might have been Swinging on the Rainbow. Is that...
You know, I don't even know that I flipped that. It was on Chancellor. I remember that, but I don't.
Either do I. But I come to remember that's really the first song. I was 8 years old in Cleveland, and the next door neighbor said if I would run up to Master Music, the music store, he wanted that record, and if I went there, would let me buy one, gave me the money.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first purchase.
Didn't buy
another record till 1964.
Yeah.
Four Tops, maybe, or Can't Help Myself. That's all I got. Listening to the show, it's great.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, so there were a lot of Peaches. I mentioned Marlene Mack. She was the second Peaches, and she was not the one on Get Your Groove On. That probably would have been Linda Green. And after that was Patrice Hawthorne and then Miriam Wright. And Wade Mackel, and then more recently, Merritt Zell Negre. And that's been, I think those are all the Peaches. I'm not sure, but Marlene was the second Peaches. All right, so 888-876-5593. You know, if you're keeping track with this. But I'll look for Get Your Groove On as well. And let's see, Robert and Stickney, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Yeah, how are you
today? All right, how about yourself?
Not too bad. I took a little fall last week in my apartment, but no big harm done. I feel better now.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I just like to give a quick shout out to the Stickney Fire Department. First time I ever had to call 911, and they were great.
Oh, man, I know. That's terrible when you have to do that, but it's a godsend when they come.
Yeah. That's for sure. I've got just a couple of I'm all over the place tonight. I've got a couple of requests for sometime in the near future, I understand. I'd like to hear I Want to Love My Life Away, Gene Pitney.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that was the first record I remember by him.
Okay.
But of course, he had a string of them afterwards. But
Country stuff before that. He used to sing with Melba Montgomery and George Jones.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, on Music Corps.
Yeah, yeah. And Ooh Baby Baby by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Yeah, You got it.
Yeah, that's
a wonderful song. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, And the other night, I guess it was around just before New Year's, when you were mentioning all the people who have passed.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, I don't know if it was last year or maybe the year before. I was very surprised when Jerry Lee Lewis passed. Not too many. I heard it in the middle of the night at the tail end of a top of the hour news broadcast. Now I understand the scandal with him marrying his cousin and all that kind of put the kibosh
He was definitely Peck's bad boy, but yeah, marrying the 13-year-old didn't help. But yeah, he died in October of 2022. So it's
really?
It's been over a year. I think it was October 28th.
Oh boy, that time goes right fast.
Done it though. I know. Yeah. Absolutely. Born in Faraday and died in Hernando. So Mississippi boy through and through.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and but he was. I would think he would go down as certainly one of the pioneers of rock and roll. I'm sure.
Well, sure. He was. You know, he was actually at Cosimo Matassa's at J&M in New Orleans, and so that was before Sun. Everybody thinks of him as being coming out of Rockabilly and Sun Records, but before Sun, he was at J&M. So that was New Orleans. So yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Myra Gale Brown was his 13-year-old first cousin. She became successful in real estate in the Atlanta area much later.
Oh wow!
So she went on to a perfectly fine life.
Oh great, Greg! Glad to hear that.
Well. Yeah.
And I was so surprised. I don't know how I didn't catch it with the Joe Stafford. You know.
Oh yeah.
I guess that's the same Joe Stafford, like
you belong to. Sign, yeah, you belong to me, of course.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Early autumn and all those.
Yes, that's absolutely the same Joe Stafford and Paul Weston, of course, both very accomplished musicians. Well, they were Jonathan and Darlene Edwards.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay then, Robert. Glad.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Talk to you later. All right. And we'll get those requests on. I promise we'll get to Fran and Austin. And we'll get to, of course, James on the South Side with his 4,832 stories. And hopefully you too at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I think Shake Your Groove Thing is what Cleveland Dennis wanted to hear. He had said, get your groove on, and if that's what he wanted to hear, well, that was by girl. Now don't think so. But just in case, wanted to play it nonetheless. Those were the Chalumbo sisters and a couple of other people, too. And that was also in the 90s. And so, yeah, get your groove on. But Shake Your Groove thing was Peaches and Herb. Now that we've cleared that up, we have Fran and Austin. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. It sure is good to hear all this Jonathan and Darlene Edwards stuff.
It's hilarious.
I think my favorite of theirs is Temptation.
Oh, that's, yeah, a fine version. Yeah.
If you're not done playing them for the night, I would love to hear that.
All right, I'll go for Temptation. I'm sure I got it.
And then... let's see. There are so many subjects tonight that I have to try to figure out where I am. Okay. Apple Music.
Yeah.
I remember, so I was going to have a rant about Apple Music and music streaming services in general. And I've had Apple Music for a while. I know what, you know, it is what it is. I know I'm not going to get, you know, the same as having my own record collection where I can actually hear the versions of songs that I actually heard and not the remastered.
Oh, God, I know. That's the single biggest problem.
Yeah, and then when you think about, you know, like, people younger than me, that's all they've ever heard of.
Oh,
that,
I know. You know? Well, hell, the whole Motown catalog.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes I'll hear something that you play that, you know, I haven't heard, or I've heard it recently, but I've heard it on, you know, something like that, and then I'll hear, oh, that's right, I remember, that was the way it sounded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, okay, I accept that, and, you know, unfortunately, I got rid of most of my record collection, which we were moving to a smaller apartment, I didn't know where we were going to put things, and I panicked, and I did, you know, and I'm kicking myself every day of my life for it, because I can't find those album cuts anymore.
Like,
sometimes I can find them on YouTube, but
no, a lot of times,
kind of,
yeah, I know.
And you know, I wanna keep them. I want them where I can hear them when I want to hear them.
That's right.
You know, I don't want to have to go to YouTube and look for it. And
right.
You know. So, but anyway, it used to be that you could sometimes find an artist, or sometimes find an album. You could find their most, you know, like if you're looking under. Like the other day, I was looking under Carpenters because I wanted to find that Goofus song because I kind of liked it and I wanted to hear it again.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it anywhere on there. And I couldn't find, because you said it was on the kind of a Hush album.
Yeah.
So I looked for that. I can play Carpenters Essentials.
Oh, God.
I think they had Carpenters Essentials. And a Christmas album.
No.
And, you know, that was pretty much it. And it's on that way, even on with other artists. And I used to have, I mean, you know, yeah, they're remastered, but I used to have a lot of the Beatles albums on my Apple Music playlist. Now you can't just go and say, okay, I want to play...
You can't, yeah, whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, you can't play the album.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely.
And if you do, or if you decide, okay, and so I decide that I want to listen to the Beatles. So I just put the artist, and I want to listen to the Beatles. After about maybe a half hour, they'll start playing other artists from that era. Or, you know, like if I played Sgt. Pepper, they would play me other kind of psychedelic-y stuff.
You need to make your own files, because you can get all this stuff on YouTube. You need to take the time to create your own files.
I don't know how to do. I would love to do that. I just don't know how. I'm not. You know, I'm like average technology user.
Well, that's all you need to be. Hang on, don't go away. All right, we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
And here we go.
Will you, darling, why you look so bad tonight? These bags around your eyeballs, which is red instead of white.
Well, if for this way you came when I was alone, shucks, I should have known that you was temptation. heart is plumb gone, 'cause you was temptation. It'd be thrilling if and you're willing, but if and it never can be, then pity for me, for you was too bored to be kissed. I couldn't resist, 'cause you was temptation, and I was yours.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is, Temptation. And yeah, the voice is Joe Stafford, the female. The vocal says Cinderella G. Stump. And the male, of course, is Red Engel. And the Natural Seven. And Red was a funny guy. You know, not because he followed scripts or anything like that. He was just naturally funny and did a number of things. And he did a lot of comedy records with Spike Jones. He was responsible for a lot of that work. But he, in 1947, got together with Cinderella G. Stump, otherwise known as Joe Stafford, for Temptation. So there you have it.
Love it. Yeah, my... I you know, that's cool, and I love to try to sing along with that. It's just fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, oh, we were talking about Apple Music and music files, etc. I've got a lot of stuff on my computer. I just got to get the darn thing fixed. Well, I've got to get a better music player, because the one I have on there now, I can't figure out how to play more than one cut at a time.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. All right. I record them from YouTube. I don't rip them. And that may take a little doing. And I just use a cheap program called WavePad. And I can use the same program in and out the way I've got it set up. So that's my preference, to record them. Because you get much better sound quality. But you can rip them. And the sound quality won't be as good, but it'll probably be acceptable. And there's tons of ripping programs you can get. And cheap. I mean, dirt cheap. And you can just rip them and then, you know, put a folder on your desktop and put, you know, 50 records or 100 records in there and then just put them on, you know, a way to shuffle them. It's really fairly easy to do.
Okay. I find if anybody has any advice for me on which something like that is accessible.
Yeah, I'll look around, you know. NCH makes a ripper, and I like NCH. I use WavePad and all that, but they're out of Australia, and they're cheap. But let me look to see how accessible that is.
Okay. Yeah. And then, but as I say, if I can get my... I just don't like that they do that, because
a
lot of people...
Right.
I know a lot of people, that's all they don't have a computer. They just have their phone to listen to music on.
They need to do something about that, because as time goes on, those of us who are interested in what is increasingly becoming a severe niche market, you know, I mean, let's face it, this is not mass appeal. There's not
right.
gonna be, there's no market in playing to us.
Yeah, and especially because, I mean, I had a huge collection of novelty stuff.
Yeah. Well,
I'm never going to get a lot of that back.
Well, the good news is most of it is on YouTube. You'd be surprised.
I have been surprised at some of the stuff I've been able to find
over
there.
Yeah, you really can. Because, you know, I mean, it's a community, and invariably somebody puts it up. There are some things, a shocking amount of things that I can't find, but believe me, it's probably things that no one else but me is looking for it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I, you know, find myself looking for things that it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I had a question about a song, and it just came up in my mind. There was a song that Dr. Demento played called I'm Hip.
Demento played it.
And it was this guy, and he was talking about I'm hip. Let's see. Like, you'll notice I once wore a beard. Beards were out, but now, you know, they had their day. Now they're
back. Is that the Dave Frischberg song?
That's it. Yeah, one more time, play Mac the Knife, because I'm hip.
Right. Dave Frischberg was his name.
Frischberg?
Yeah, F-R-I-S-H-B-E-R-G.
Okay.
Because
he did a lot of stuff that I liked, and I could not remember his name.
Yeah, he did.
He did one about My Attorney Bernie.
Yeah, My Attorney Bernie. And, you know, he did a number of Do You Miss New York and Dodger Blue. And, I mean, there's a ton of things. And all of that
stuff. I know. I love him. And I've been looking for him, and I thought, Raleigh will know his name. And as soon as he said it, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, it's Dave Frischberg. And he wrote I'm Hip with, I think, Bob DeRoe was the co-writer on that. And wait, I might even have it on this computer somewhere. Well, let's see. All right, well, let's try. What's happening?
Oh, yeah.
I'm hip. I'm no square. I'm alert. I'm awake. I'm aware. I am always on the scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I buy People magazine 'cause I'm hip. Like Dig. I'm in step. When it was hip to be hep, I was hep. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding. I even call my girlfriend man, 'cause I'm hip. Every Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's another guy who had a hell of a career. He was a jazz pianist and vocalist, and I mean, you know, whether it's Rosie Clooney or Anita O'Day or you name it, I mean, Bette Midler even, and on, Mel Torme have all done his stuff. And so, you know.
I can believe it. I love him.
Yeah.
It's
interesting because one of his inspirations was Jay McShann, who I loved. And he played in St. Paul, actually. He was from the Twin Cities, but he wound up being very interested in the likes of Billie Holiday and Art Tatum and Johnny Hodges and people like that. And he went to New York after he graduated from college in the 50s and was doing well in Greenwich Village. And I mean, you know, Gene Krupa, Bud Freeman, Carmen McRae, all these people. And, of course,
wow.
I'm Hip, and he did the lyrics. The music was Bob DeRoe, but Blizzard of Lies and all that other stuff, and Van Lingle Mungo, which is all baseball players or something.
I love that. Yeah. All the baseball players with kind of funny names. He said that how he wrote that, he was just trying to find something for something he had, you know, something he liked. He was playing it, and he's trying to find. He just started singing the names of various baseball players, and it worked.
Well, it did. You're right. And he moved to L.A. in the early 70s and stayed there, I think, until the mid-80s when he went to Portland. But I saw this interview with him once, and he said that of the songs he wishes he wrote, Frank Lesser's Baby It's Cold Outside tops the list.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah.
and he was a baseball fan, obviously. Sadly, he died a year or two ago in Portland. But he was older. You know, I think he was like 88 at the time or something, or 90. I mean, he was up there.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's Dave Frischberg giving Dr. Demento plenty of things to play.
Oh, yeah. But that's one of my favorite ones because it's just so, I don't know, it just makes so much fun of some of the just all that pretentious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and of course, he wrote for ABC Schoolhouse Rock, too. He did I'm Just a Bill.
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like I found out, well, when I got a friend of mine sent me a I Love Tom Lehrer, and I have a box
set. Oh, yeah, me too.
And he did some stuff for Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
Silent E, I love it.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Lehrer was one of my all-time faves.
Who can turn a can into a cane, who can turn a man into a mane.
Yeah.
It's elementary for Silent E.
right. But there's so many things. The Elements, of course, was it.
Oh, yes. And that one about, you know, we got the bomb and that was good.
Oh, yeah, right. That was the flip side of Pollution. They put that out as a 45.
Oh, yeah, pollution.
Yeah, smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running
hot
crud.
Hot and cold running crud.
See the halibuts and the sturgeon being wiped out by
the
detergent.
Bay, they drink at lunch in
San
Jose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's he was the reason I loved TW3. That was the week that was. I thought that was the best show, but only because of Tom Lehrer.
Oh, was that? Now, I know that because I got the first time I heard of Tom Lehrer, I got a copy of That Was the Year That Was in my little Foundation for the Junior Blind giveaways.
Uh-huh.
And that was the best giveaway I got from them because I had never heard of it before. And so then I found out it was That Was the Year That Was.
Right, it was after That Was the Week That Was, of course. And
the
that
Week
was,
That Was.
Yeah,
TW3. Yeah.
And that was a couple of years, 62 and 63. And it was just wonderful. But it was wonderful because of Tom Lehrer, you know, as far as I was concerned. Yeah.
And, of course, being growing up Catholic, and my grandmother was, like, super Catholic. I mean, I really didn't.
Oh, well, then you love the Vatican rag, yes.
And so when I really wanted to make my grandmother mad, I would turn up the Vatican rag.
Right, right. Genuflect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do whatever steps you want if you have cleared it with the pontiff.
Yeah, right. I was just
everybody says on Kyrie eleison.
Right, right. No, all of his stuff. Poisoning pigeons in the park or the masochism tango.
Oh yes, and then they did the orchestrated Tom Lehrer.
Ah, okay.
And that's interesting. Dr. Demento played a few things off that, mainly masochism tango, but they did poisoning pigeons in the park and, you know, a few of them, complete with strings and little titties. Yeah, it was really quite nice.
Yeah. I can't even imagine, because certainly until recently, he was still teaching math at UC Santa Cruz. And he was also, you know, at MIT and Harvard and all that. But I can't even imagine having him as a math teacher. And just be hilarious. And I think the last time was 2001. He was doing Infinity, and then he retired. But yeah, I just can't imagine knowing his humor and all that of sitting there and doing upper math.
Yes, one. Whoever got one can stay after the show and clean the erasers.
Right. Yeah, right. I got it from Agnes. You know, the venereal.
Oh God, I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah, just
and of course the new math and
yes,
about,
only a child
I
can
learning
do
learning the new math.
Right. Only
and of
a
course
child
I like his
do.
Line about the idea is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer.
Exactly. yes. It's so helpful you can turn anything into base five. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're missing two fingers, there was a one
right.
about. It usually plays this in base eight.
Right.
You know? But base 8 is just like base 10, really, if you're missing two
fingers. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, yeah, and he's I guess he's 95 or 96 now, so but still with us as far
wow.
as I know. You know,
I would imagine he might have been a pretty strict math teacher, though.
Oh, I'm sure he was deadly serious about it because, you know, obviously he devoted his academic life to it. He meant it. So,
right.
But you know, so, when he went to Santa Cruz, he was teaching math and musical theater history. So
I would have taken the musical theater history.
Right.
I would have taken that from him.
Right.
Wow.
So,
he was
so,
asked, I was listening to an interview with him and it's more true today than it was when he was asked that. He was asked, you know, if he would go back to doing comedy albums and he said, no. And he said the reason was because people don't have a sense of humor anymore.
He's right.
And I thought, he said this like over 20 years ago. And now I wonder what he'd have to say.
Yeah, well, exactly. And he supposedly is the inventor of the Jell-O shot. This is a true story. He was drafted and went to work at the NSA, and they sent him to Los Alamos, I think, and there was a prohibition on alcoholic beverages, so he came up with a Jell-O shot.
Well.
Yeah.
I'll remember that next time I have a cello shot, if there is a next time.
Yeah, right, exactly. So yeah, an all-around very interesting guy. And sadly, I keep thinking we'll read about his passing, and it will be a life well lived, but we'll be less off with him gone.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yep.
All right, I guess that's it for me for tonight.
Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, so we'll get to Sherry, we'll get to James, and hopefully to you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Spring is here, a suppering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me, and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. They see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with a cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There's a story that goes along with that. He recorded that in 1959. And the copyist arrived at the last minute, and the parts were all passed out, and there's no title on that, and so no lyrics. So they ran through it one time, and the copyist said, "What a pleasant little waltz." And yeah, then it starts, and the guy gets to the part about poisoning pigeons in the park and falls off the stool, literally. So yeah, I know. It's too bad there wasn't video back then. That would have been worth it. Sherry in Naperville, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I wanted to chime in on Fran from Austin.
Yes.
And she was saying she has these playlists, et cetera, et cetera.
She doesn't like them.
Can't access.
No, not that she can't access. She doesn't like what's on them.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to convey some knowledge I have just because my handicapped sister, she stays in a all-female facility run by nuns. For handicapped and other people, they have different pods. They're not called pods, but that's what I'm calling them. And at any rate, my mom does those Alexa Amazon things. So you buy them. I don't know.
Yeah, you can ask Alexa to play anything, but they're not.
It has to have Prime. Right, correct. But my mother from Naperville to where my sister is, 30 miles up, or something like that. She makes playlists. My sister, my stepdad, her dad was in barbershop. There's a playlist for barbershop. There's a play. She loves patriotic music. We go to the Naperville band concerts. 4th of July. She loves the guy who sings the Blackhawks.
Right, I understand all that, but what I'm saying is Fran wants a specialized group of songs. She doesn't want what the
right.
playlists are creating.
And my mom makes a playlist from the Amazon Alexa,
yeah,
and she can tell Alexa from her house all the way up 30 miles to my sister's Alexa to play a song list, because she'll ask her, FaceTime her and say, "Do you want to hear this?" And my sister will say, "Yes," but she knows some words. But anyway.
Well, the problem is that Amazon Music doesn't have most of what Fran wants. And doesn't have. That's what I'm telling you.
They have a lot.
No, I understand they have a lot. But when you're looking for specifics, especially if you don't want to hear any of the CD versions that were remastered, Amazon Music is not the place for you. They're just
asked for, my mom dances and
I know.
While I'm dancing.
I understand
but
all that.
Anyway,
you're just not aware of what we're talking about here, because again, and I understand you may think, okay, I hear that song. That's the song I want. Well, it's probably not the original 45 version. And that's what Fran is after.
Oh, okay. You're probably right on that end.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And that's what she's frustrated about, that she can't get anything that will make a playlist that she wants to hear. It's not the songs, it's the versions, the original 45 mixes.
Okay, but if she has a friend that has an Alexa, just tell her, say, Alexa, play such and such from this label.
She does, and I'm sure that she's done that. But she can report next time and tell us. But I'm pretty sure she's done that. That's why she's complaining, because it's not able to create what she wants. I know that firsthand.
Well, I don't know, because she didn't mention Alexa in Amazon at all.
She didn't have to. For instance, I didn't either, because I write that off.
No, I don't know why you do that.
Because it's not there. I've tried it. You don't get the original 45 mixes.
You know me. I'm a newbie.
Yep.
And I don't know a lot like you do.
Well, in case when you're looking for a specific version of a song, such as a 45 mix versus what came out on a CD, Alexa is almost always going to play a CD version because that's all it knows. It never had the original 45.
I never, particularly when I say what I want, I never say. I always say from this album or from this era.
Yeah.
I don't leave her the ability to pick what she wants. Yeah. I am specific.
Okay. Well, good luck on that. All right. Thanks for calling.
No, I was trying to help.
No, yeah, absolutely, and that's good. Unfortunately, like I say, I'm 99% sure that Fran has already ruled out Alexa because of very disappointing results. But thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So Fran can tell... Fran can tell us next time if that's the case, but I know from my own experience, for instance, that you just don't get it. All right, and I understand why, and that's what Fran is complaining about. But she can make her own on YouTube if she's willing to do it. All right, so this is terrible. I've got less than 20 seconds left, so I'm going to ask James from the South Side to call us tomorrow night. And we've got 3 hours tomorrow night. And we've got 3 hours Thursday night and next Monday night, as far as that goes. So plenty of time to share. So until 10 o'clock tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, that'll be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.